Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. With three eclipses in the space of just 31 days, five planets in retrograde, and a sixth due to join them on August 7th, it's not surprising that many are feeling less than sure-footed right now. The good news is I'm reliably informed that the energy of the solar eclipse in Leo on August the 11th is likely to be the tamest of the trio, as there are no major negative planetary influences with it. Ah, but can we say the same about those six retrograde planets? Over the next hour, internationally respected authors, speakers and spiritual facilitators, Jim Self, Lee Harris and Susie Miller, will be sharing their intuitive insights into what's going on energetically this month and how you can make the most of the transformational energies that will be available to you. First up is Jim Self, whose course in Mastering Alchemy book and programs have changed the lives of thousands of people across the globe. Jim, welcome back.
Hey Sandy, always nice to be with you.
You too, Jim. It seems that we have a little bit of echo going on here. I hope it's not too disruptive.
I don't hear it on my end.
Oh good, it must just be mine then. Okay, so tell us what you're noticing right now, Jim. I mean, the energy seems to be just beyond, I think, what many people have experienced in their lifetime.
It's almost confusing, this energy right now. On one hand, it's as if, you know, have you ever seen a wave of water kind of move and it builds up steam and then it kind of bumps into a wall and everything behind it begins to just slow down. The velocity gets challenged. And in a way, right now, that's what I'm being aware of. For some people, they're waking up, things are working, there's a lot of ease, they're beginning to find themselves perceiving from a different place, and life's working very nicely and they're not even noticing a confusion. Other people are finding that there is a slowdown or there's a confusion, and it's as if I'm not sure whether to step forward or step back. But what I notice mostly is it's as if, and this is a good time of the year to talk about this, it's as if at 80 degrees or 90 degrees, the equivalency in Celsius, you can handle that level of heat and you can navigate your day. It's just warm. But when the temperature gets up into the 100, 101, 102, 37, 38 Celsius, it begins to just be drawing down on you. You just get more sluggish. And this period seems to be a space where you're going forward, you're not certain. But if I was to kind of categorize it in a way of what I'm observing for people who are being progressive, it's almost as if you take one step forward and then you stop and reassess exactly where you are. In some cases, you're going to find that now you know more because you took that one step forward, and you're going to take one step back, but you're far more aware than you were if you had just kept going, if that makes any sense. So you're kind of bumping into points of consideration, observation, pause, as well as some excitement on some people's parts, and other people are stepping into a confusion. Does that make any sense?
It makes an awful lot of sense. And it is right on target with what I'm reading with the astrology at the moment, that there is a lot of confusion. All of the retrograde planets, you know, are creating lots of energy around this whole thing about feeling like you're walking through mud. Everything is sticky and slowing down. And, you know, people are taking one step forward and then two steps back again. So I think you're just picking up on the energy, yeah.
It's an interesting time because I think that it has a tremendous amount of potential. And for a person who is beginning to really take a look at who am I, what do I want, how do I wish to choose my life, I think this is a very valuable period of time. And so let me say again, it's as if I'm observing my life, I'm going to take one step forward and pause and assess, what did I just do, what did I just experience. From that place, it's a new place to take one step forward with the new information. Sometimes it's going to be required to take a step back. But I think one of the pieces that I'm watching in an energetic level is, as humanity is really going through this change, it's as if the energy of humanity is getting a little denser. And so people are bumping into this denseness. They're bumping into potentially an agitation or an irritation in some way. And they're assuming it's them. But in fact, it's not them. It's the nature of this whole shifting consciousness of humanity in itself. And so I say this often, it's really getting to be more and more about you. How do you choose? What is it that you want to experience? And how do you wish to get there? Something that I notice also is something that we don't pay attention to is the agreements that we have with humanity in general, our friends specifically, family. And a lot of those agreements are very unconscious. They just are how life is. They're like rubber bands that hold you in a set of reference points to continue to do what you've always done. And I think that space of taking one step forward and assessing where you are in relationship to what is my relationship to these agreements, and how many of these agreements do I have, of which most are not in present time. They are in the past. And so the question of what is it that I want and how do I get there, on one hand, sounds like a very selfish consideration. And I'm going to say it is. It's about you, that end of the stick of selfishness about giving to you. It's not the end that steps on people, takes advantage of people, uses people. It's the place that really says right now quietly, who am I? What is it that I want to do? And as all these transitions are occurring out in front of me before they really rapidly move forward again, how do I wish to navigate my circumstance?
You know, I think the thing that goes along with that, Jim, is, you know, looking at what's happening on the world stage, it is forcing many people to reassess, you know, or perhaps to assess for the first time what they really think, what they really feel about what's happening in front of them, where they stand, who they are, and, you know, how they want to live their lives and what kind of people they want to be. I think when you talk about these agreements, they're so kind of insidiously woven into our psyche that we don't even think about them until something so different happens that it kind of shocks us out of that, you know, way of being, and forces us to look with new eyes.
Absolutely. You know, here in the Western United States right now, you've got just these horrific fires, and they move extremely rapidly. And you, in the news, you hear stories of people saying, well, I heard the sirens and I kind of smelled some smoke, but I didn't pay attention. And then all of a sudden it got more and more, and oh yeah, there's a fire. And all of a sudden, you know, when do you make a decision to choose an action? And some of these stories are, I just made it into my car and out the driveway before the house exploded. And so this is one of those times where I don't think a person wants to wait to that point of decision making. this transition is very disruptive, at the same time choosing appropriately very much allows you to navigate a very smoother path into something that to a great extent is going to be very different than you experience right now in life.
It always amazes me how we seem to be operating hand in hand with the universe. I mean, everything that you've said, I could point to, you know, the same thing being given as explanations for certain planets. You know, this is what happens when this planet's retrograde, and this is what we can expect with that one. And it's all dovetailing with everything that you're talking about. It's almost as if, you know, this... there is no separation between us and the cosmos. It's reflecting back at us what we need to be doing.
Very much. And it's always reflecting back to us. But in our comfortableness, in our general uncomfortableness as a spiritual being in a third dimensional world, we don't pay attention. We just kind of accept a level of status quo. But look around. The status quo is very much being disrupted. And it can be looked at from the standpoint of, wow, what a great opportunity, or it can be looked at from the standpoint of, I'm going to dig in my heels and make sure nobody takes this away from me. And if you, we've talked about this concept of two Earths in the past, mostly not in terms of physical planets at this point, but just two stratas of consciousness. Those that are waking up and moving into well-being and joy, respect, dignity, appreciation, and those that are simply saying, I have to lock down and get tighter about this because I don't want them to take this from me. And so you're seeing that gap widening in the stratas. How people position themselves in that is still unfolding. But that gap is expanding, and choice is going to be something that people are being given the opportunity to make, and that's the exciting part of where we're going.
Yeah, it seems to be a time for great reflection, doesn't it? And in fact, you know, retrogrades actually do give you that opportunity, is to reflect on what you've been doing rather than, you know, planning new stuff or rushing ahead, but just be with what is, you know, tweak it if you need to. Edit it if you need to, but you know, reflection is the key word.
Very much, very much. And a lot of times that reflection, you can be in a lot of motion, but even in the motion, like I've got four or five projects on my table right now that are requiring international engagements and financial engagements, and all of a sudden I've just got to get on an airplane. And with that kind of motion and demand, the ability to just simply take a breath right now and choose the actions in each one of those in a manner that allows you to navigate smoothly is available. But it really is, how do you choose? How do you simply assess, get out of the fear and observe where you are and take a step accordingly and then reassess at that point?
Have you noticed, I don't know whether it was on this show last month, whether it was you that said something about reality slipping, but I've been experiencing what feels like a little bit of reality slipping or time slipping, experiences where I'm suddenly aware of doing something that isn't my normal, you know, something out of the ordinary to what I normally do, but having the sudden sense that I'm kind of in somebody else's body and going, oh my goodness, you know, this is exactly what this person does. This is what it must be like for them. But it's such a kind of internal shift. Are you hearing anything about this?
Well, from my point, what I hear you saying is a lot of times you all of a sudden have this very much present time awareness of a habit or a representation of yourself doing something, and you notice it and it's like, gee, my mother does this, or that's how my dad used to. And so that's a tremendous place because it allows for a choice to simply make a change. Is this really who I am and how I wish to present myself? And what you and I have talked about many times over the years is these patterns that have been very unconscious, that have been just accepted as an identifier of who I am, are really starting to come to the surface to give people choice to say, do I wish to continue this behavior and this habit of presenting myself in this manner? And that's where some of this really amazing change is going to become available. And you're going to watch those patterns just slip away, because it's like, wait, this isn't who I am. And so that's what I noticed in regard to that comment.
Yeah. And you've described it perfectly. Is this, you know, you and I have been speaking for decades, it feels like, about this very transition that we're going through. Is what is happening now what you were expecting, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ago when we were talking about this?
I think so. It is, there's a number of threads that are very consistent what we've been looking at all along. What's happening is, as that the shifting gets into present time, more and more people become engaged in it. It's like looking at a picture and saying, this is what's going on. And everybody says, oh, that's nice. But all of a sudden, once you get into the point of that picture, I have a whole bunch of different considerations of how I wish to experience this. So you see motion coming into elements of this transition, some that are moving it forward, some that are slowing it down a little bit, but everybody is beginning to be engaged at greater and greater levels of this, some consciously, some very much unconsciously.
Jim, before we leave you, any last word of advice or suggestion for anybody?
Well, I'll say it again. It's really a time to pause, take a look at where are you, what is it that you're doing, and is it serving you? And then, do I want to step into this next piece? And when you do, pause and do the same thing all over again.
Jim, thanks for being with us. Speak to you next month.
As always, Sandy, thank you.
Thanks.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and welcome also to author, energy guide, channeler, artist, and musician, Lee Harris. Lee, hello.
Hi, Sandy. Great to be with you.
Do you know, last month you talked about reverse polarity, and when I was looking at the astrology for this month, the words that came up was, as we're coming out of this May to July wave of intensity, for many of us, it brought a real reversal around our normal experience and speed of life. And this particular astrologer was saying exactly what you had said last month.
Oh, that's, you know, I always love hearing that. I've got a couple of astrologer friends and I really like astrology, but I don't always track it. So it's like you just said to Jim, the synchronicity is everywhere. We're all going through the same thing. We're just maybe you know, whether we experience it through astrology or intuition, or we're all in the soup together, aren't we?
Absolutely, and it is a soup too. So what's it like in your part of the soup?
It's interesting, you know, I really enjoyed listening to you two talk, and I liked your question to Jim about, is this what you imagined it would be? We've been speaking about this for decades. My answer to that would be yes and no. On the one level, you know, there is this, I can feel a progression and a shift in consciousness. I think what I didn't anticipate back in the kind of mid-2000s when I was doing a lot of channeling about this time that we're in now, is perhaps the side of what I refer to as descension. So I think a lot of us who perhaps might identify as light workers, intuitives, sensitives, part of our path in the last 5, 6, 7 years has been actually coming back to the ground and really going between what I call the bridge and life, everyday life. So the bridge to me is where our soul lives, and anybody who's a soul-led person can kind of tap into that and have visionary, meditative consciousness experiences that are very pure and are very the soul. And then there's, you know, the everyday life, the, you know, the disagreement that you get into with somebody, or the bump in your car, or the things that perhaps happen for you with people who may not have the same belief system as you, but we're all born of the same thing. So I see it as going between, we're in our soul growth, but we're kind of dancing, that's why I call it the soup, between very high consciousness experiences and a certain level of safety for us now in perhaps revisiting some of the unhealed areas of the past, whether it's an argument with your sister, or, you know, something blows up with a neighbor. So I don't know if I'm explaining myself clearly, but I think I hear that from a lot of people, and I also experience that for myself, that it's a really interesting time to be alive where growth is concerned, but it can be very challenging too, versus perhaps, you know, how you might feel when you're on the bridge and just in your soul space and feeling conscious. So a necessary time, and the only way that we're all going to shift together as a society and align in consciousness. But I'm noticing that's happening a lot for people, a lot of dissonant moments and then brighter moments, and that seems to be par for the course in these years that we're in right now.
Yeah, you know, wave and flow seem to be, you know, some concepts that I'm noticing. You know, people seem to be moving in almost like a dreamlike waving manner between one state and another. And, you know, I've experienced this myself a little bit as well. Are you noticing this?
Yeah, I my personal belief and feeling about what that is we're just not equipped to kind of deal with this level of speed and intensity. And I remember channeling a few years back, they said nothing in your ancestral DNA has prepared any of you for the specifics of this time. Now, of course, you could argue, you know, that's true of every person who moves through history, particularly if you feel that time is linear. I know that essentially time isn't, but most of us as human beings, we do experience time as linear. It's part of the human thing. So I really resonated with that, because if you look at technology, the internet, I think that has really brought us all together at high speed in a way that very few of us are equipped to deal with. And there's great stuff about that, and then there's overwhelming sides to that. And it's kind of why one of the themes for my August energy update was, how are you coping with the speed? Which is something I've talked about for years, but the message about just take a moment to slow down and step back. Because I think that the reason people go into that trance is because, you know, we just can't process anymore, so we just kind of hook out. It's kind of like you become a bit of a zombie in the middle of the day, because it is a lot to kind of go through this period of time.
You know, I mean, you work with a lot of energetically sensitive people. It must be excruciating for some of them to be to have that sensitivity at a time like this.
Yeah, I personally feel lucky that I'm not as extreme as some of the people that I've worked with over the years, because I have met people who, particularly the people who are having trouble with Wi-Fi and, you know, people who are having high sensitivity to electronics right now. I feel for those the most, but I think that's kind of, you know, my job really, is to help sensitives and empathic people, which is, I would identify with those two terms myself, kind of navigate this time, because not unlike what Jim was saying, there are ways to choose your reality, and sometimes you can do that through the mind, but much of the time for the highly sensitive, a lot of it is to do with the actions that we take. So, you know, are we looking after our body in the right way? Are we trying to put too much into a day? The thing that can be common for empaths and sensitives is they don't know they're not coping until it's too late, because they try to keep going, or they try to do what they see everyone else around them doing, or assume that everyone else around them is doing. So for sensitives, it is really important to recognize there's a hell of a lot going on in the world, and depending on where your focus is, that is going to move through your system to some degree. So you have to be mindful of how you're replenishing yourself and where you're focusing, and how that's affecting you.
You know, I want to make it clear to our listeners that you, Jim, and Susie do not get together before one of these shows and share what you're going to talk about. I'm the only one who, you know, gets some insight into what you're going to be talking about. And it's interesting that Jim brought up the topic about the two Earths, which you mentioned last month, and how people seem to be dividing themselves into two different factions in a way, two different kinds of responses. And you've said exactly the same thing this month, that people are dividing themselves into two different camps. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting. It came to me strongly when I was delivering the August Energy update that the division is very clear. So there are those who are overwhelmed and pulling back and shutting down, and they're just like, oh my God, I can't take any more. So I'm going to be a bit more grumpy. I haven't got any heart energy to give you. I'm irritable. And often there's an unconsciousness to that. You know, occasionally people are doing that deliberately, but often it's just people not knowing that they're not coping very well and not being conscious of what they are emitting to other people. And then the opposite side is true too. The one message I kind of gave this month is that many sensitives in the world are actually beginning to find their power, partly because these times force you to not push and to not force things and to learn to balance yourself more than ever before, but also because a lot of people, because of this division that's going on, are very emotional. And so we'll actually welcome a certain level of emotional conversation or allowance between people. So, for example, whereas years ago a sensitive might have learnt never to speak emotionally to a person at a party that seems shut down, now you might be surprised that person who seems shut down, if they seem a little off and you just say to them, hey, you know, are you... How's your day been? It's pretty stressful at the moment, isn't it? They might really open up to you because they need to voice it and they need to feel it, but they don't necessarily know how. So a lot of the sensitives that I work with, and this has come through my channel a lot, you will be an emotional leader for people. And that's actually needed and wanted at the moment. It's like, if the whole world could go on the Oprah show right now, more of them would go on more than would have 10, 20 years ago, just because they're craving and wanting to be seen and heard more than ever before. It's not always conscious, but it's there. So there's a division between those two camps. And I will say one thing quickly, Sandy. It's a bit of a segue, but it picks up on something you spoke about a few minutes ago. The thing that I've noticed for myself, and I've heard this from other people too, is because there's more going on, the opportunity is to learn how to, and this fits with what Jim said really, to be responsive in the minute versus several times a day. So what I mean by that is, I've noticed for myself that if I just focus on what's right in front of me, even if a part of my mind knows what's coming later that day or tomorrow, if I just focus on what's right in front of me when I feel like there's a lot or too much going on, I do really well. And if I start tracking too much what's coming, or if I force myself to do things I don't really want to do because I've got some idea I have to. Now, obviously, there's certain commitments you have to do, but a lot of the time we're making up these rules in our own head. What I've learned is if I just let myself be a bit useless for like 2 hours at a time when my mind would rather I wasn't useless and was more productive, then I get the energy 2 hours later. So there is a surrender to the energy that we're all being asked to give into, but we're not used to it. But if what I've been noticing is if I really do surrender to my energy flow, and I'm kind of, you know, checking it and supporting it as much as I can, then a whole new rhythm starts to happen for me. So it's kind of a birth of a new consciousness inside you, but it's almost being forced upon you, but you have to listen to it and let it dictate and not fight it or go against it. So that came to me when I was hearing you talk about having slightly out-of-body experiences and surprised that you were doing certain things.
Yeah, that phrase that you said, birth of a new consciousness, I think that's a very apt phrase. You know, we really are in uncharted territory here.
And perhaps, you know, if we go back a decade or so, and I know I first met you 10 years ago, Sandy, how different that time was. I feel like the visionaries and the light workers, we were doing a lot of dreaming and kind of willing birth to happen, whereas now we are in the birth canal, and you know, it's a little tight, claustrophobic, messy in the birth canal. You know, it's not just dreaming about how, you know, having a baby or being born. It's actually, there's a certain intensity to giving birth, and I think that's what we're all in, and that's where this birthing of a new consciousness is happening to us, but on a very horizontal level, which is why I mention, you know, one thing that anybody listening who resonates with what we're saying could try in the coming weeks is, you know, really see, without, obviously, notwithstanding super commitments that you have to follow, when you've got 3 or 4 hours and you're on your own schedule, try and see whether or not letting go of what your mind thinks you should be doing, especially when you're putting pressure on yourself or you're not feeling good about what you're supposed to be doing. See if letting go of that makes the energy change enough so that at a certain point you just get the energy to do it naturally, but perhaps it's a few hours later and you just needed some rest. The driving mind is something that all of us are having the opportunity to rebirth at the moment. And if you're not rebirthing the driving mind, it can get complicated and things can blow up in your face.
I think, you know, Jim spoke to me earlier about the need to be selfish, and not in a nasty way, but, you know, to really be paying attention to the self and the needs of the self. And I think you've said something similar in your report about self-soothing.
Yeah.
Say a bit more about that.
Yeah, self-soothing is, you know, because it can be a crazy thing to be alive, and it can be beautiful, it can be wonderful, and it can be intense, it can be challenging. You know, I always equate being alive to the ocean. You know how you swim through the ocean and you're in a lovely warm patch? Then all of a sudden you swim through this really cold patch and you're like, whoa, and you just have to keep swimming because you don't know when it's going to change. You know, being alive has those peaks and valleys. And so self-soothing is when we are kind enough to remember that it's okay that we're not doing very well that day. It's not a mistake. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not failing spiritually or as a human being or as a mother or as a father. We're just having a rough few hours, and it's okay because that happens. And in that moment, what do you need to do for yourself? You know, do you really need to turn the news on? Or should you not turn the news on because you know that so much of that is designed to scare you anyway? So the self-soothing is really that. And sensitives do have to remember to be selfish. We can all be selfish as human beings, but often sensitives, light workers, they will tend to send their energy out to others. So you don't tell a narcissist to be selfish. They're already doing a pretty good job of that. But I think it's important to remember that if you're selfish enough to look after yourself and generate better energy inside yourself because you've looked after yourself, you're going to be a much happier, more useful person to everybody else after an hour of doing that versus stressing yourself out and taking that stress with you everywhere you go.
And do you think that this, you know, as we get through August, we're going to start moving into a much smoother period for the rest of the year?
Well, it's interesting. I loved what you said at the very beginning about all the astrology. That was fascinating to me. And it makes sense because I was getting this message in the last few days of July. It was like, okay, new chapter's about to begin. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because I definitely had a really intense June and May. All the good stuff, but just intensely challenging. And I really feel a different chapter between now and the end of the year. So I spoke about that in my full energy update, which you can see for free on YouTube or at my website if you want to read more about it. But yeah, this is the beginning of a new chapter. Smoother, I'm not sure whether we could say that for the next 6 months, but certainly August has a bit more of a valley than a peak in it energetically, because we've just come through 3 or 4 quite intense months. So everybody needs a moment to integrate and calibrate with all of that. So generally speaking, although we're all individual, August should be a little bit more steady for most people, especially if your last 3 or 4 have been a bit rocky.
Well, Lee, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Thank you for giving us your insights, as always, and look forward to speaking to you next month.
Absolutely. Lots of love, Sandy. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Lee. Bye. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and after the break, we'll be hearing from visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator, and multidimensional seer, Susie Miller. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to segment 3, Susie Miller. Susie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what's opening up for us energetically this month from your perspective?
What I've been noticing, especially with a lot of my clients, is that there is a blending or a merging of kind of the human aspect of ourselves and the what we might call the bigger aspects of ourselves. So what that looks like is it looks like there is we've cleared out enough of our wounding and some of the patternings that have kind of played out over for a really long time, let's just say. And this light is just flooding in, like these new frequencies, these new energetic patterns are just flooding in. And I think a lot of us are getting a little taken aback, or it's, you know, when you have this level of light really infusing the physical, mental, emotional experience, it's no wonder that people are feeling almost haphazard. It's like, you know, one moment the emotional body can be going off, the next moment the mental body can be completely still. The next moment we're taking an action forward, as Jim was saying, and then maybe we're taking a step back. And it feels like it's like this haphazard energy. But what I think is really beautiful about this energy right now as well is it's absolutely forcing us into this moment-by-moment awareness of self. It's like, I think Lee was talking about the self-soothing part too. It's like this moment by moment need to know what we need. You know, moment by moment awareness of what it is that is necessary, what's going to get us to the next moment. And I think a byproduct of this is we're also really starting to develop a very deep, or at least have the opportunity to develop a very deep level of personal trust. And I think as we go in from now until the end of the year, we're going to need this more and more.
This is really interesting because, you know, again, I look at what's happening on the world stage, and there seems to be so much effort being put into distraction, you know, getting our attention and taking our attention away from ourselves, you know, and look over here at that and, you know, don't see this piece over here. And yet what each of you have said in your own way is that we actually need to be spending more time ignoring all of the distractions and really going into ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of like Lee was saying, too, is if you are an energetically sensitive individual, which I definitely consider myself, I mean, what I'm watching within myself and within my clients is that it's almost as if there's no other place that you can look. Because it's almost like if you lose your focus on your own ability to navigate this energy, you're kind of like swept up in a big vortex of distraction, of, like you say, you get pulled out of yourself, and it takes much more energy to get back centered, if you will, in this particular climate. So it's almost, I think, by trial and error, a lot of us are learning stay present to ourselves, stay present to our own needs, stay present to what is kind of supporting a sense of balance, you know, really learn to navigate from one moment to the next, because this moment may be, you know, very emotional and kind of a deep purging, and the next moment may be almost like this blissed out then state of mental, you know, just calmness. And it doesn't necessarily make any sense, right, based on things that we've experienced before, but it's driving us in so beautifully. It's almost, the moment you try to even kind of go out of yourself for another opinion or another point of view, you find yourself lost again. So I think by hook or crook, we're learning to stay very present with ourselves.
And to listen to our own intuition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And doesn't that make sense, too? Because if we're starting to merge the human aspects of ourselves with more refined aspects of our, let's say, our multidimensionality or whatever you want to call the more refined parts of ourselves. Doesn't it make sense that if we're starting to merge those two, that we really need to get very precise about how we're going to be using those energies? Because, you know, we already have been seeing that, you know, we think a thought and it's there. You know, we feel a feeling and it's there. So it makes perfect sense to me anyway that as these worlds are merging, as we're becoming more than we have been as far as the human condition is concerned, that we also simultaneously need to be very aware of what that energy does so that we can direct it in a way, create in a way that really, you know, holds our highest and, you know, even a step further, the collective highest and the best interest, right? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes me also wonder, where is it leading us? You know, this explosion in self-awareness, this self-knowledge, this ability to listen to our own counsel, where ultimately is that leading us?
Sovereignty. You know, I mean, I think it's that. It's leading us to a state of sovereignty where we really become we've all heard about creating your own reality and all those kind of fun things. But really, I mean, if we're really going to take charge of creating a new reality for ourselves, if we're really going to take charge of some of the choices that we've all collectively made in the past that no longer serve us, you know, we have to be very tuned into, keyed into what works for us and what doesn't work for us. You know, that's the first phase, you know, what works and what doesn't. And, you know, my background is in working with kids diagnosed with autism, you know, and having this whole population of individuals that function at in the more subtle realms of reality, right? And then we have all the people that work with those individuals, you know, maybe in the denser realms of reality and trying to navigate those two worlds. But from what I'm looking at right now, it's like those worlds where those kids have hung out for so long, they're getting awfully close to the worlds where, you know, the denser worlds where, you know, maybe the collective has hung out. And so if those two worlds are really beginning to merge and go together for more of humanity than ever before, then it's like, one, we have this opportunity to renegotiate how we've been expressing as human beings in the world, right? We get another run at this in some ways. But unless we know what keeps us in balance and what keeps us present and grounded, unless we know what actually works for us, then, you know, it's like, how can we really choose? You know, if we're kind of more haphazardly just making it through each day, you know, in some kind of a reaction cycle, then, you know, how can we actually be creators of something new? And I think this energy is forcing us into this place of trusting ourselves, knowing ourselves, rebalancing ourselves. It's like we're learning to rebalance ourselves through our own evolution process, right? The process is happening, but our consciousness, our minds are having to do the balancing.
And everything you're saying, I mean, this is the perfect antidote to the craziness that's going on in the world out there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, we've all heard, you know, these phrases like there is no out there, right? But so unless we're actually inward and balancing ourselves, and believe me, I mean, I'm with Lee. I think my June and July were a little bit crazy, so I'm hoping that those predictions about August are, you know, right on, because I think that, but again, what's been happening is this opportunity as we kind of drive in and learn to trust ourselves at levels that we haven't been able to trust ourselves before, balancing ourselves kind of sometimes moment by moment. You know, it's like, and sometimes it's as much as, okay, what do I need right now? I need a breath. I need to breathe. I need to ground. I need to cry. You know, I need to watch TV for an hour. I need to, you know, and it's almost like the resolution or the need is almost right on top of whatever the situation is that that's creating the need. But if we're learning to balance ourselves at kind of, yeah, minute details like that, if we're learning to balance moment by moment, what does that do for the collective? Like you say, if there is no out there, and every one of your listeners is learning this mechanism of self-balance, self-trust, self-awareness, then doesn't that then broadcast out into the collective consciousness of all of humanity and start supporting that process there as well, right? Start
absolutely
smoothing off those rough edges.
You mentioned go on, go ahead. If you've got something to say, please do.
Well, no, I was just going to say that the energetically sensitive are, you know, I mean, a lot of them are picking up this energy right now in extremes. You know, it's like the spectrum of extremes that are available to the energetic sensitive is pretty heightened right now. But again, if they are also taking that energy and finding balance somewhere within that, again, you know, they're playing with big spectrums of energy, and balancing that. If that's their only focus, to balance themselves moment by moment, then again, what is that doing for the collective that may have maybe a more narrow spectrum of experience? You know, that's going to both help them open further and also help them do that in a more balanced fashion.
I want to ask you, you talked about the work that you do. I mean, your background working with children with autism and great multidimensional awareness, and you channel the collective consciousness of the children, and the children have been giving you information for a long, long time. What are they saying about this time?
Well, a little bit of what I was just sharing, it's like this time of, you know, the most subtle aspects and realms of ourselves are coming together with the most human aspects of ourselves, let's say. And that literally is creating a new, you know, a new type of human, I guess, is the best way I can say it. So, I kind of have referred to the kids as almost like a prototype for a new human, because they were holding some of the energetic information that was going to become what we are all becoming. But if you think about it, if the most subtle aspects of our awareness are starting to merge, literally merge, become one or embody with our physical, mental, and emotional experience, we're beginning to literally walk on the planet as a different kind of human. And is everybody doing that right now? No. But this wave of these energetically sensitive individuals that are holding this balance, they are absolutely starting to anchor something brand new here. And I know that's true because when I talk to, as I continue to do, with parents of children who are extremely energetically sensitive, so much so that they can't really be fully embodied, what we're noticing with those individuals is that they are coming in more and more and more. And they're coming in because the collective has created a soup, let's say, that is more conducive to them being here than ever before. And at the same time, it's rattling a lot of cages to have that level of an intensity of energy kind of descending or embodying into, you know, what has been the collective human experience. So I'm also watching a lot of people. It's almost like they're old stories. You know, you go to talk to somebody right now, and in any moment, they might be so deep in their old stories, it's crazy. And in another moment, the story's completely gone. You know, it's
Susie,
brand new them.
We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, just as we get into the good bits. But let's see what, if we can continue this conversation next month. Susie Miller, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for tonight's Energy and Integration Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I hope you'll join us again on September the 6th. And meantime, I'll be back next week to discuss how the science of light unlocks the art of living with Dr. Jacob Lieberman. Till then, it's goodbye from me.